Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Picture the sky at night in Judea, before electricity, before smog, before cars and industry separated us from the heavens, surrounding us with a polluted haze. Before all of that, picture yourself looking at the stars at night in Judea. The dark sky is darker somehow without a city's glow to block it out. And the bright stars shine brighter somehow without a city's haze to separate. You see something wonderful, more stars than you knew, shining brighter than you thought stars could shine. You see something wonderful, but then God makes it more wonderful still. You see something wonderful, and yet God makes it better. For those shepherds watching their flocks outside of Bethlehem, God revealed his angels. The choir of angels singing praise. As Luke tells us in his gospel, God peeled back the thin veil of our world that hides the invisible from the visible, and he opened up the nighttime sky. The shepherds saw an army of angels shining brighter than any star. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and these angels lifted their voices rather than their swords, singing praise to God. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. While we stretch our imaginations just to conceive what that must have been like, this morning our reading from Psalm 148 stretches your imagination further still. This morning, the psalmist opens our eyes to see not just an army of angels, but all of creation giving praise to God. Let's meditate on Psalm 148 this morning with the goal that we, as God's creatures, might join all of creation in giving praise to God. Sometimes we look at things with a rather limited view. What we are seeing is wonderful, but our imagination, our vision, is simply too small. Take, for example, this child in our drawing from the triptych this morning, the inside panel here on the left side. She is immersed in a world filled with life. Bright flowers, green grass, even her necklace, a butterfly, is somehow coming to life as it interacts with the world. So immersed is she in a world filled with life. Yet her delight arises only from looking through a very narrow window she has created with her hands. She's created this small window that and allows that window to shape her vision of the world. But that vision is not all that God has created for her to see. Something like that is happening this morning when you consider Psalm 148 in relation to our reading from Luke's gospel. Now, when you heard the gospel reading this morning, you probably wondered, why are we reading a Christmas text when it isn't even Christmas? Or are we doing Christmas in July this year? That text from the Gospel of Luke is familiar to us. We bring it out at Christmas, and we remember, through these words, one small moment when God revealed his angels singing praise. But if that is the only window we have, our delight in this world of creation is going to be too small. Once a year, near the end of December, when we are overwhelmed by the celebration of Christmas, we gather and join the angels in praise. yet we will miss out on a chorus of praise that is happening all the time all around us. That's what is so beautiful about our psalm this morning. Psalm 148 is a chorus of praise. You know how in the hymn, "Angels We Have Heard on High," there is that line, "and the mountains in reply echoing their joyous strains." That is what the psalmist is trying to do for us this morning. The psalmist is asking us to hear not only the angels who sing on high, but also to hear the mountains singing in reply. If you look at the psalm, you'll notice that it is structured into two parts, a call and a response. The psalmist, by the power of the Spirit, is the choir director for all of creation and seeks to orchestrate their praise. The first part is sung in the heavens, "Praise the Lord from the heavens." And the second part is sung on earth, "Praise the Lord from the earth." In the first part, the psalmist pulls back the thin veil of our world to reveal the angels in heaven, praising God. We see them as clearly as we can see the stars, all his host all around giving him praise. Then the sun and moon, the stars, the waters they swim in, are suddenly given voice. All of them are caught up in a moment of everlasting praise. As the angels in the heavens sing, the psalmist tells us why they praise God. Because they were created, verse 5. So often, we remove God from the world. We place God and his act of creation in the distant past. It's something that happened ages ago and has very little relevance for us today. An act that God did a long time ago that doesn't matter for us today, but not so for the psalmist. The psalmist rejoices in God's act of continuous creation. He created the world, and he keeps that world in his care. As the psalmist says, he established them forever and ever. He gave a decree, and it shall not pass away. Even now, all of creation rejoices in this work of God. Not just at Christmas, not just in Genesis, but now, today, everywhere. Why? Because they were created, they continue to give God praise. The song that is happening in the heavens then spills out upon the earth. Like the child in the drawing, we are looking to the heavens through our fingers, and yet we are surrounded by a world that is alive with the delights of God. The psalmist startles us out of our heavenly vision. He calls out to the earth to join in this song of praise. Praise the Lord from the earth. And suddenly, the great sea creatures and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and mist, all are giving praise. The world around us becomes a choir, and by giving praise, they are fulfilling his work. God has designed creation to share in his joy. And when creation does that, it is fulfilling his work. Then the psalmist expands his vision from the sea and the air to the earth, mountains and fruit trees, beasts and birds, even the creeping things are giving God the praise. And finally, the psalmist turns towards us, God's human creatures. He sees the powerful and the poor, the kings and their people, young men and maidens, old men and children, all people created by God, and God has placed them in his wonderful creation. For this reason, the psalmist cries out to you as well. This morning, praise the name of the Lord. This time, however, notice that our praise is anchored in more than just creation. Earlier, the psalmist proclaimed that the heavens praise God because they are created. But now, the psalmist proclaims that the psalmist proclaims that people praise God because they are redeemed. He writes, God has raised up a horn for his people, for the people of Israel who are near to him. What does this mean? Good Lutheran question. What does this mean? To raise up a horn is to demonstrate one's power. And God has demonstrated his power not by destroying his people who have so often strayed from him, but by coming to save them. In Jesus Christ, God came near to his people and he saved them. Think about it this way. In the drawing, the little girl looks at the world through a frame created by her fingers. In much the same way, God has looked at us. He entered a human frame. He took on human flesh. The creator of all things became a creature. He saw this world through your eyes and mine. He saw how far we have separated ourselves from the world. We did not see this world as his gift. And when people no longer see a creation, it is not long before they no longer see their creator either. We turned against God, separating ourselves from God once for all by nailing God to a cross. But there Jesus saw it all. The punishment of God for our sin, our eternal separation from God in hell. He saw it all and he bore it all for you, that you might be redeemed, that he might rise from the dead and become the one who now orchestrates a song of praise from all creation, including you. Jesus now is that eternal psalmist who has risen from the dead, who invites us to sing, "Remember your creation," he says. You are one of God's creatures. Remember your salvation, he says. God has saved you by grace through faith. Created by God, saved by God, sing to God. Today, Jesus invites us through the words of this psalm to see the world that God has created and to join all of creation in a song of praise. So then what does that mean in our daily life? Very simply, it means taking a moment to look around, to discover the beauty of God's world. God has created for us an amazing world. He has set angels and stars deep in the sky. He has set angelfish and starfish deep within the ocean, all for us to discover in joy. The world itself is filled with more than we could ever see in our lifetime, which is perhaps why God has given us eternity in Jesus Christ. In Christ, God gives us life, eternal life, in a new creation. And the psalmist invites us to anticipate that life now by giving God praise. In these 14 verses, the psalmist surveys the world. He asks us to see it. Why? Because he knows that in seeing God's creation, we will join in giving God the praise. Consider the story of creation. In Genesis, after God creates the world and places Adam within the garden, he brings the animal kingdom before Adam for Adam to name. Why does God have Adam name the world? Some would argue that this is Adam showing his power over all things. This is how Adam shows his dominion, that God has placed all things under his feet. He names and claims the animals of this world as his own. And by naming, he exercises power over all things. But I think that the psalmist gives us another reason here. God has Adam name the things so he can see them, and by seeing them, he can join in their praise. Adam is not controlling creation. He is not claiming creation. He is learning creation. and by learning creation, he learns how to join in praise toward God. After Adam names all of creation, he doesn't turn away from God to claim all of this as his own. No, instead he turns toward God, recognizing that he is a creature and that God is the creator. And God then gives Adam a helpmeet to help him to care for creation in this world. Eve, being created by God to give God praise. In this psalm, we see a glimpse of that work of God. By naming creation, the psalmist expands our world. He invites us to a lifetime of discovery, discovering the wonders of God's creation and of joining creation in giving God praise. As the church gathers in worship on Sundays, we typically sing the Gloria in Excelsis during the divine service. For a brief moment, we hear the songs of angels, and we offer praise to God the Father for the salvation he gave us by sending his Son. We have taken the song of the angels from Luke and placed it into our worship service, and that is good and right. But this morning, however, the psalmist asks us to open our hands a bit wider, to lift them in praise that encompasses all of creation. We don't lose the vision of these angels singing praise to Jesus, but we instead expand our vision so we begin to see more. Not just angels, but angelfish, stars, and starfish. The way in which light from a distant star reflects from the scales of a butterfly's wing, delighting your eye with an iridescent blue. Can you see it? Can you hear it? This is the world's Gloria, an everlasting song of praise. Go out and discover that world. Learn about it, name it, care for it, and then return to God as just one of his humble creatures, but one who joins all of creation in giving praise to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.